I'd like to call your attention this morning to the back of your bulletin. If you would take a look at that. This is a new thing we've started over the past couple weeks. It's called Table Talk. And what we're hoping during the course of this sermon series is that you'll have an opportunity to have further conversation about the sermon, further conversation about worship. And so there are questions for children, there are questions for youth, there are questions for adults. And I hope that you'll use this. Our goal is to have an empty recycling bin because everyone will have taken this home for further conversation. Well, I had planned my sermon for this weekend a couple of weeks ago. And in light of the events of this week, I felt God leading me in a slightly different direction. In fact, midweek, I called and asked if the chancel choir would change their anthem for this morning, and they were gracious and flexible enough to do so, and I want to say to you, I appreciate that. And in fact, I appreciate your leadership in worship every week and how dedicated you are to be here to lead us. Thank you for that. In light of the events of this week, I have felt like I've been wrestling with this scriptural passage in a new way. And so in light of those things, in light of this week, I'd invite you to pray with me. God of love and God of grace, we thank you for this day, for this opportunity to gather here together in worship. God, we come this morning with many things on our minds and in our hearts. Our world has been rocked by tragedy this week. Many of us are holding those things deeply. And there are other things that are unnamed and unknown that each of us have going on in our lives and within our spirits. And God, what unites us this morning is that we are here hoping for a word from you. And so God, I pray that as we gather for worship today, you will speak to us clearly. It's in the name of your Son, Jesus Christ, that we pray. Amen. I don't know about you, but I've been glued to the TV this week. I haven't been able to stop watching the news, the events in Boston, the events in West Texas, the ongoing events in North Korea, all of the things that are going on in our world. My heart's been broken over and over again. I haven't been able to help but think about my own 3-year-old and 5-year-old who on many occasions have been somewhere to celebrate with me. And so to think about the news of an 8-year-old boy in Boston who was just there to celebrate with his daddy has broken my heart. And so in situations like this, and when the news looks like it's looked this week, what I find myself asking over and over again is, what does it mean to live like Jesus in times like these? When the news looks like it's looked this week, what does it look like for us to live like Jesus? Last week, Kay Harvey kicked off our series that we'll be doing over the next several weeks called Like Jesus, where we'll be taking a deep look at Jesus' most extended teaching in the New Testament, the Sermon on the Mount. It can be found in Matthew chapters 5, 6, and 7. If you've never read it, or if it's been a while since you've read it, I would encourage you to read through it this week at home. We're going to be looking at the very beginning of that sermon this morning. And I think what Jesus has to say in the beginning of the Sermon on the Mount has some really profound things to say to us about where God is in weeks like this, about where we should be in weeks like this, about how we should respond as people who are seeking to follow Christ. Right at the very beginning of the Sermon on the Mount, Jesus makes an interesting statement, a strange statement, perhaps. He says, "Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven." Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. I think to understand fully what Jesus is trying to say here, there are at least three things that we need to explore a little more deeply. The first is the idea of blessing. What does it mean to be blessed? I think in our culture, usually we think of blessing as some kind of gift that we've received or something that we've been given. So if someone gives me a gift, I think of that as a blessing. If I receive some kind of gift from God, I think of that as a blessing. But the word that Jesus uses, the word in the Greek here, is the word makarios. And the word makarios has a little bit different kind of meaning. The deepest biblical sense of blessing in this sense is simply that if you're blessed in this way, it means that God is with you. If you're blessed in the way that Jesus is talking about in the Sermon on the Mount, it means that God is on your side. The second thing I think we need to explore more deeply is the phrase poor in spirit. I've always wondered what that phrase means. And there are a lot of varying opinions and commentaries that say many different things about what poor in spirit means. But if you look at the original language, the Greek word that's translated as poor basically means destitute. It's abject poverty. So to be poor in spirit in this way is not a good thing. To say that someone is poor in spirit is kind of like saying they're a spiritual zero. To say that someone is poor in spirit is kind of like saying they're a spiritual loser. To be poor in spirit is not something that you want to be. And the third thing I think we need to explore to kind of understand what Jesus is getting at here is this. In the Beatitudes, which is this section at the beginning of the Sermon on the Mount, Jesus is not giving advice or instructions on how we can become blessed. This is not a to-do list of things that we should do in order to become blessed or to earn God's blessing. But instead, what's happening is this. Jesus is making an announcement about what things are like in his kingdom. And so, at the very beginning of the Sermon on the Mount is this announcement. Blessed are all those who are spiritually bankrupt because God is with them. Blessed are all the people who have done nothing to earn God's blessing because God is on their side. Now, this flies in the face of our common conventional understanding. Right? In our culture, we're a group of people. We are a community of high achievers. We know and we understand that if you want to achieve a status in life, you have to work hard, you have to make good decisions, you have to keep your head down, and that's how you earn your status in life. I grew up in a family of blue-collar workers from the Midwest. My family's made up of farmers and mechanics and municipal workers. And so I learned from a very young age that if you want to be something, if you want to achieve something in life, you have to earn it. Every bit of it. You have to work hard. You have to keep your nose clean. That's how you achieve status in life. And what we do, because that's our common cultural understanding of how things work, is that we translate that over to our understanding of how we relate to God. And so what we do is we try to earn our status with God. We try to earn our blessing from God. We fill up our spiritual to-do lists and hope that if we do all of those things, that somehow, some way, we can have a higher sense of favor in God's eyes. And then some people react in the opposite way. And they think that there's no way that they can ever earn God's favor. And so they lose hope. And they turn their backs on God because they don't think they can ever earn what God has to offer. But is that really how it is with God's blessing? Is it really possible for us to earn God's blessing? Do we really have the ability to earn a higher status before God? A question that I've been asking myself over and over again this week, and that I invite you to ask yourself, is this. What do you really deserve from God? What do you really deserve from God? I know that if I were honest in answering that question, I don't deserve very much when it comes to my relationship with God. I haven't done much to earn status in God's eyes. Now, 2 weeks ago, my wife and I welcomed our third boy into our family. Anybody else in the three or more boys club? Okay, I'm going to need to talk to you afterwards. I need some advice. Thank you. That would be very helpful. If it's okay with you, I'd like to show you a couple pictures of him. But even if it's not okay with you, I'm going to show you a couple. Look at that. This is Jude. I know. Look at how cute he is. Oh, thank goodness he's got his mother's genes. Well, any of you who've had newborns or been around newborns, you know that newborns can do four things, and only four things. They eat, they sleep, they poop, and they cry. That's it. That's the only thing that they can do. And usually when they're crying, it's because of some combination of the other three things, right? They want to eat, or they're really tired and they can't sleep because they've pooped, right? Or some kind of combination of that, and that's why they cry. And so you and I know that there is absolutely nothing that Jude can do to earn status in my eyes. There is absolutely nothing that Jude can do to earn my love. But the second that Jude was born, in my heart, I made an announcement. I looked at him and I said, I love you, buddy. Man, I love you. And I know that you're going to do some really great things in life. And I know because you have my genetic makeup, you're going to do some really awful things in life. And regardless of what you do, I love you. I am with you. I am on your side. And the truth of the gospel is that when God looks at each and every one of us, God sees what I see when I look at Jude. And God sees much less of what we often see when we look at ourselves. See, when Jude was born, I made an announcement. And at the beginning of the Sermon on the Mount, Jesus makes an announcement. If you feel spiritually empty, God is on your side. If you've made more mistakes than you can count, God is with you. If you feel like you've reached a dead end in life, the kingdom of God is available to you. We don't have to earn God's blessing. There's nothing that we can do to increase our status in the eyes of God. It is a free gift of grace that we are given. It's a gift. And how awesome is it that when we don't feel like we have to constantly earn God's blessing, we can spend a lot more time sharing God's blessing. So a question for us this morning is this. What if we were a church who saw it as our task to make an announcement? What would it look like if we left here this morning and we went to the people in our community who've reached a dead end and we looked them in the eyes and we simply said, our God is with you? And another question that's been rattling around in my heart and in my mind in the events of this week that I can't stop asking. There's a 19-year-old kid right now in a hospital in Boston who's made some tragic, horrible, awful decisions. And one way or another, his life is over. And the question I keep asking myself is this. What if someone had gone to him before this week and made an announcement of God's love and God's blessing? Could things have been different? The next announcement of blessing that Jesus makes says simply this: blessed are those who mourn, for they will be comforted. Blessed are those who mourn, because God is on their side. Now, in the face of tragedy and mourning this week, there have been a lot of announcements made by Christians. There have been announcements of anger, and there have been announcements of fear, and there have been announcements of judgment, and there have been announcements of hatred. And the truth is, we often don't know what to do. We don't know what to say in situations like this. But Jesus says, blessed are those who mourn. So what if we, as people who are trying to live like Jesus, simply planted ourselves right in the middle of the mourning and the pain and offered a taste of the comfort to come? What would it look like for us to go from here and find all the places where people are hurting and simply plant ourselves in the middle and offer the comfort and blessing of God? I saw this week a picture, and many of you have seen this, or maybe you've heard this quote before. It was a picture of Mr. Rogers with a quote. And Mr. Rogers, in addressing a situation of tragedy in his own way, said this: when I was a boy and I would see scary things in the news, my mother would say to me, look for the helpers. You will always find people who are helping. To this day, especially in times of disaster, I remember my mother's words, and I am always comforted by realizing that there are still so many helpers, so many caring people in this world. I love that quote, but I would take it a step farther. And perhaps this is being overly simplistic, but every time I've seen this picture and read this quote this week, I've thought, you know, for those of us who are seeking to live like Jesus, we're not just looking for the helpers. We should be the helpers. We should look for every opportunity to be the helpers. At the very beginning of the Sermon on the Mount, Jesus makes an announcement. We are blessed. You are blessed. Blessed are the people who don't deserve God's blessing, because it's not dependent on us. It's a gift from God. We have an announcement to make. I believe that the world we live in is one that desperately needs to know about the love and grace and blessing of Jesus. And so the question for us this week is this: will you make an announcement? In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.